Hey everyone, this is Jeff Garcia, host of Locked On Spurs. What you're about to hear is part two of a two-part discussion with Locked On Celtics host John Corrales. Basically, what you're about to hear is the conclusion of a very long discussion regarding Kawhi Leonard and the Boston Celtics. By now, you should know that the reports are that Leonard wants out of San Antonio and that the Spurs and Popovich don't want to send him west, and they try to get to the Eastern Conference away from them, Spurs, that is, seeing Kawhi four times versus two times. And it makes sense. I get it. Boston has been a team that has knocked on the door of the Spurs once last season. Spurs said no. But in a fantasy world, if everything was fine and, you know, Celtics was agreeable or not agreeable, does it make sense? Would Boston even want Kawhi Leonard in green and white? So what you're about to hear is the conclusion of a discussion with John Corrales of Locked On Celtics on why or why not Boston would want to make a deal for Kawhi Leonard, and what would Boston offer San Antonio if they were going to be in agreement of accepting Kawhi and, of course, shipping out what they, well, at least in this case, what John would like to see as far as a deal for Kawhi Leonard. So sit back, enjoy the final part. Part two, would the Celtics even want Kawhi Leonard? Enjoy. Here's the thing, and I think I mentioned this recently when I was in San Antonio on a local sports radio. Whatever the issue is, he wants out, reportedly. We got to make that very clear on this episode. These are just reports. Nothing has been concrete, you know, proclaimed as gospel yet. He is willing to give up $30 million, more than any other team in the NBA can offer him, the only San Antonio can, because he wants to go home? I get it. Home is where the heart is. I get that. But $30 million to leave on the table to be, nah, I'm good. I'm going to go back home. And I think that's what rubs me the wrong way, is this, well, is that that just tells me, as I mentioned, he's really homesick, or whatever the issues he's had with the organization are so deep rooted in him that he's like, you know what? Keep your cash. I'm good. Laters.
Or he thinks that that $30 million, giving up that $30 million, is crack that open right here. Crack that beer open.
I don't know if it's going to spill. I mean, or spray out.
There you go.
That's why you shake it a little bit.
No, I shook you a bit.
I knew you did.
Or he says, yeah, I'm giving up $30 million to leave the Spurs, but I'm going to make three times that by going to L.A. and increasing
or Boston.
Or Boston. L.A.
Yeah, okay, here we go.
To increase his profile and increase his endorsement money. Like, if he's in San Antonio, I don't know. I'm guessing. One possible motivation is to sit there in San Antonio, as much as you obviously, but I love the Spurs and watching them, but the perception of the Spurs is, you know, it is what it is, vanilla. Right? Like, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to offend.
I'll say it. Vanilla.
Yeah. So, but, hey, look, if you're, you know, talking about ratings and TV watchability and things that get fans going, like, the things that piss you off as Spurs fans, and you say, well, real fans of the NBA, they don't appreciate it. That's fine. I agree. But if the casual fan with deep pockets looking to buy jerseys and stuff like that,
yeah, ain't gonna happen.
Right? If they're just sitting there like they want to see Showtime and they have a perception of San Antonio, look, I'm just saying, from a business perspective, if there are business motivations behind this somehow, whether it's Kawhi or whether it's the people around Kawhi that want to make money off of Kawhi, like, to go to LA and be part of that LA scene, be it the Clippers or the Lakers, I'll throw the Clippers a bone there. You say, you put him in LA, you put him in a high profile situation, a more marketable situation, especially if it's the Lakers, because they're Showtime. You say, I'm in, if you're Kawhi, you say, I can be in San Antonio, I can make $35 million a year. Or I can go to LA, I can make $30 million a year, plus an extra $25 million that Jordan plus whatever other places give me, and you say, yeah, I'm giving up $5 million a year, but I'm making $20 million a year more off the court.
Right.
Well, that's the thing.
I get that aspect of it. Visibility, markets, share, market size. But we're talking about Kawhi Leonard here, who it takes like a tow truck just to him to have some sort of personality to say something. And then you're going to stick him in a large market and now be that personable, charismatic guy that's going to sell you sneakers, that's going to give you a signature shoe, that's going to net you some commercials, blah, 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 blah. I interviewed him the moment he was drafted by the Pacers, before he was even traded to San Antonio. And when he got traded to San Antonio on draft night and I interviewed him, I knew already the Spurs and the media were going to have issues with this guy. So now you take him in San Antonio, where he has been quiet, that his personality fits the situation. Oh, we're taking a selfie.
Yeah, a little Instagram live. Just don't worry about it. We're chilling. We're podcasting. Keep going.
And then you transplant him back into an LA market. I mean, you're just confusing me here, John. Turn that off.
Sorry. Sorry.
did we just do the first ever podcast within a podcast?
I think
we just did. But you know where I'm going with this.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
so
you get my point.
The point is, as I derail you with my social media.
Thank you.
So you can turn even a boring guy like that, you can turn him into something marketable. If he is doing stuff on the court that is spectacular, like he does. If he's doing it in LA and he's on, like, the Lakers are on TNT 14 times a year when they're
they
a 20 win team.
Like
so let's be honest. Like, the Lakers are just this phenomenon. They are nationally just beloved. Right. Yeah. So you throw Kawhi on there and you throw the Lakers on TNT or national TV 30 times a year. That's what, 20 times more than he would be on national TV with the Spurs? Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You have him doing stuff that's spectacular. You have the announcers go, "Oh, Kawhi Leonard, what?" And you can put that. You don't even have to have him say anything. You do quick cuts with him on the court, saying like two words here, two words there, and then just him dunking on James Harden. And him dunking on Kevin Durant in a Lakers jersey.
Forget about it.
That's a sneaker commercial. Yeah. You, everybody listening right now can see that sneaker commercial and go like, yeah. He doesn't have to be big-time personality. You know, you can turn that stoicism into marketability. You could be like, he's the guy laser-focused. He's the guy that's super intense. He's the guy a few words. And you turn those few words into a marketing campaign. So,
I get you. You know, I want to backtrack a little bit. You know, I mentioned earlier, I was like, oh, thank you, LeBron, for creating this situation the NBA is dealing with now. Players forcing their way out. But let's face it, this is historic. Steve Francis did it when he got drafted by Vancouver. He forced his way out.
Sure.
He went to...
Kobe Bryant?
Houston, was it? Did he go to Houston when he got drafted by? He got drafted by Vancouver, which is now the Memphis Grizzlies.
Sure. Yeah, but I know he was in Houston.
But where did he go? He went forced to Houston, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Danny Ferry did it. He was drafted by the Clippers. He was so adamant not going to the Clips, he went to Europe in Italy.
Yeah.
Waited it
out. Why do that?
And then he came back and the Cavs signed him.
Yeah.
So this is not unprecedented. Oh my God. Did I just show my age right now?
Yeah, you did.
Big time?
Totally.
Like completely
it's
big
all right.
time right now.
I'm
right?
older than you, so.
Not by much. What are you, like two or one? You're one, right?
How old are you again?
I don't remember. I know, seriously.
You don't remember how old you are?
I don't know. I think I'm 42. I know, John. I'm being serious. I think I'm 42 or 43. I don't know.
What year were you born?
I don't want to do math right now. I don't want to do math right now. That should be the title of this show. I don't want to do math right now.
I turn 45 next month. 45.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
how about that?
There we go. All right, moving right along. But no, going back on track here. Yeah, I did this at the end of the day. You know, this whole Kawhi Leonard situation is odd. It's odd for San Antonio. Even though I don't think it should be odd, considering the fact that LaMarcus Aldridge and the Spurs went through this last year. It was just a lot more hush-hush about, and it was taken care of right away. But I do not give up on San Antonio because of one name, Popovich. If anybody can calm the flames and douse the fires and clear the smoke, it's him. And if he has more than one, two, three conversations with Kawhi, that could be a game changer. And as the reports are saying right now, he's already met with them. So,
Look.
I mean, you don't discount Pop. I mean, if anybody can do it, he can do it.
I hope Kawhi stays in San Antonio. I would love for Kawhi to stay in San Antonio.
I love Tatum and picks and Brown, and I'd love that.
Well, okay. Let's as we wrap up this show because. Yes. I want to go out and stop podcasting on a Friday night, but we're here.
Yeah.
Let's.
Oh, it's like you love it. Come on. Oh, you come love on. It.
I know. I know. Yes. I think the deal would involve Jalen Brown.
Okay. I guess it's a great one. Yeah. What would be your best package?
I think the best the Celtics would offer would be Jalen Brown, a sign and trade with Marcus Smart to get the salary right, because Marcus Smart would probably make like. If he agrees to it, somewhere in the $12 to $14 million a year range, so it would be Smart plus Jalen Brown. And let me ask you this:
what's up?
Would the Spurs try to get rid of some kind of salary in addition? So if they say
maybe.
Take Kawhi, would we want like Pau Gasol?
Pau Gasol, yeah, like, or Mills. I think either it would be win for Spurs fans and financially, it'd be win-win. Pau or Patty.
Right. Matter, pick one. So it would be like Smart, Jalen, and then whatever filler, if the Celtics were adamant about making the deal to make the salaries match. And then because you're getting two players, they may try to avoid attaching that Kings pick. So it might be like Smart, Jalen, filler, like Semi Ojeleye.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, Daniel Tice, maybe Williams. And then, like, the Memphis pick.
And what is a Memphis pick? It's
the Memphis pick, I'm doing this off of memory, it's 2019 protected.
Where does Memphis have to fall?
One, I think it's protected 1 through 8.
So it's got to be 9 or less, or you know what I mean, 9 or higher, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're right. You're right.
It's somewhere in that range. And then the Clippers pick, which is top 15 protected. I've got it right here. So the Celtics pick from Memphis, yeah, 1 through 8 in 2019.
Okay.
1 through 6 in 2020, and then unprotected in 21. That's a valuable pick.
That's very valuable.
You know? So you have a potential number 9 or lower pick in next year's draft, number 7 or lower in the following year's draft, or unprotected in 2021. I would expect it to convey next year. And then I think the Celtics would throw in the Clippers pick, less valuable, protected 1 through 14 the next 2 years, and then it becomes a second round pick. The Clippers are going to be kind of middle of the road, so that may convey. So you could get picks like 10 and 15 next year. And the Celtics,
not bad.
You know, Yeah. That's, you know.
Yeah, and I think for San Antonio it'll work simply because you get rid of one of the Albatross contracts, whether it be Mills or Powell. You get rid of a reported malcontent, you know, in San Antonio. Yeah. You ship them east. You're not going to worry about our money twice unless for some reason Spurs and Boston meet up in the finals. And I think it vaults Boston way ahead of Philly, in my opinion. You know, I think Philly is just that one player away. I think I get that feeling. I mean, I don't know. I think Sarek is going to be Sarek. I think would you
yeah,
see
I mean, he's
get?
Good. Look,
yeah, he's good.
If the Celtics roll out a starting five of Kyrie, Tatum, Kawhi, Hayward, and Horford, then you book Warriors Celtics in the finals. Yeah. Like, there's no way that team is not getting to the finals. Like,
barring catastrophic injuries or something like that.
You could even suffer one or two catastrophic injuries and still be a contender. But you could, with those four guys and Tatum, who's a potential superstar in the making himself, you have the potential for five all-star players in a starting five.
Insane.
That's crazy. So, yeah. I mean, I can see a team wanting to go for that. If, like I said before, if ownership wants to pay for it, if ownership's willing to pay for it,
go for it, yeah.
Then you go for it, and then, you know, you have a potential, you know, 4-year run of knocking the Warriors off and becoming better than the Warriors. I mean, that'd be pretty amazing. So,
Banner 16, 17, right. 18, 19, John. Come on, let's pull the trigger.
We're already at 17, so ourselves up to 20 and 21.
Come on, you passed the Lakers, than you are now.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I'm really trying here.
From a basketball perspective, obviously, that's an amazing situation.
Yeah.
From a championship perspective, yes, that's an amazing situation. The point I'm trying to make with saying, no, I don't want Kawhi, it's not that I don't want Kawhi.
I know.
I just think the Celtics have the potential to win Banners 18, 19, and 20 without getting Kawhi. And they can also get 21, 22, 23 down the line with the stars that they have. Eventually, the Golden State Warriors are going to get broken up. That's eventually going to be unsustainable. And they're going to run out of money at some point, I think. So,
I hope. You know, it's just so unfair. It really, really is. That Warriors team is just... It's not fair, John.
No.
It's not.
But
you can be down.
Somebody's going to beat them.
You could be down 15-20, and to them, that's 3 points.
Yeah.
And it happens like that.
Yep.
Like, you can go on a pee break. You come back and, like... They're up 15. Well, I was just gone 10 seconds. What
Warriors happened? Warriors down 20 at halftime, and then you come out of the bathroom 3 minutes into the half, and the other team's taking a timeout because the lead's cut to 6. You know? You're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hey, it is what it is, man. I'm not one of those people that says that they ruined the league.
I think they did.
No, man, because we've been through this before. You had the Bulls win 6 of 8 championships. And we're better than ever right now. You know, I think that it gives teams an opportunity to shoot for something big. And at some point, this will be unsustainable. They've won 3 titles. Okay, that's great. 3 titles. They could win more. Obviously, they're the favorites to win more. But it's very, very, very hard when you're in that situation to sustain this. People get bored. You even saw it this past regular season when they didn't get the top seed. You've got teams gunning for them. You've got complacency. You know, Draymond Green was obviously coasting throughout the regular season. The rest of the guys might coast through the regular season. Something might happen when you try to turn it on, when you try to flip that switch. Who knows? Somebody pulls a hamstring and oh shit.
Yeah.
You know, now you're in a game 7 and you're not at full strength. And the one thing about the Warriors is sometimes, on occasion, when that situation presents itself and they're down, they get a little shook.
Oh, they do.
They definitely get a little shook. So if they're great at, you know, making their third quarter run, they've got plenty of time. When it's the fourth quarter and they have to, like, put a run together late in the fourth quarter,
they'll do it.
They tend to, like, kind of like, what's going on?
They get the ball to KD and go take over.
So, I'm just saying that.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to say, like, we're going on about it, off on tangents.
But
I think the Warriors will eventually fall, and it's fine.
Can it happen next year, please?
It could. It very well could. It very well could, even without having to get Kawhi to Boston. He can go to L.A. and play with Paul George and be fine.
Look. I'm not sitting here saying that I don't want Kawhi in silver and black. I do. You know, I know Spurs majority, not all, majority of Spurs fans are already torching his jersey and spray painting his murals down in the Alamo City. But, I mean, it's Kawhi Leonard. My goodness, you know?
Yeah.
Even if, let's just put it this way, John. Even if he were to go to management right now and tell him, you know what? Yeah, you know what? My mistake. I got bad advice, like you mentioned. You know, okay, where do I sign?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want the Spurs to offer him $219 million.
Really?
I wouldn't. You know why? I'll give it to you. I still got you under 1 year. Let me see how you are towards the All-Star break.
Okay.
And then, because the last thing I want to do this summer, I give him a pin. He signs 2 months into the regular season. My quad. It's degenerative.
Know.
You realize that, right?
Right.
And he can come back. Take that camera off my face right now.
No. Now we're live. Now we're on Instagram live.
Okay.
So, no, I get you.
But my fear is that the Kawhi and his camp will be like, well, we're not worth 219. You know? I get it. If it's strictly business, like you're talking about right now, with being a GM... Like that camera, I swear.
Just talk. Okay, you're on camera. Fine, you're on TV in San Antonio.
Fine. I guess I'm just not in my element. Sorry, I never wear hats on TV.
Oh, please.
Okay, fine. My nerds. Well, everybody knows I'm a nerd. So what am I creating? What am I worried about?
So anyway.
But my point.
So
is
your point is that if the Spurs offered Kawhi the Supermax, are you saying no?
I'm saying let's hold off a little bit. Let's wait a bit. Let me see how he's feeling. 2-3 months into the new season, because they hold that for a while, right? They don't. It's not use it or lose it this summer, right? December if he wanted to. Okay, fine. I just want to be 100% sure that injury is not going to flare up again, because he's never played 82 games ever in 7 seasons in San Antonio.
Okay,
never has. Amazing athlete, amazing two-way player. But he's never been healthy.
Sure.
Well, you're about to give Kawhi Leonard the richest contract in franchise history?
Mm-hmm.
More so than Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
More so than Robinson.
Yeah, I mean...
When Jason Tatum was drafted
and he got more than Larry Bird already.
Those guys deserve it more than
Kawhi. Of course they do. But I mean, it is what it is. So, okay, let's go. Where does Kawhi Leonard start the season?
In San Antonio.
You think he starts in San Antonio? Mm-hmm. I agree. I actually agree.
I think he starts in San Antonio. They're going to take their sweet time.
I think that Kawhi, what we saw in the draft is the Spurs not rushing at all.
They don't want to do what Cleveland did.
You're right. There's no hurry.
Yeah.
They have him under contract for one more year. There is a time...
you're like, do I continue talking or do I let this out? Yeah.
There is a time where the Spurs leverage kind of flips. I think they have until December when the free agents who sign this summer can be traded. There's like a first kind of pseudo trade deadline in the middle of December where teams will make their deals with free agents. They're like, this was a mistake or whatever. So I think the Spurs hang on to Kawhi until at least December, because teams will want him for most of the season.
Even if he's a rental.
Even if he's a rental, so they can convince him that their culture...
They're doing the Paul George OKC.
They're going to be like, if they say... If Kawhi says, I'm going to consider re-signing with you, you're going to want to have him play with those teammates for a significant portion of the season, if not the entire portion of the season, to convince him. So if Boston says, all right, well, we'll pull this trigger, then you say, all right, December is the time. You don't wait till the trade deadline because at that point it's a little too late. So I think if Kawhi does move, it's December versus
summer or
versus
season,
yeah. Versus before the summer. I don't think it happens this summer. It could, but I don't think it happens this summer.
I don't want the Ball family in San Antonio. Imagine that. I just thought about that right now. I was just thinking about that. You know, moving him and LA. Obviously, he wants to go home.
LeVar Ball
in
San Antonio.
Can you imagine Pop and him?
No, that would not go well.
Oh my goodness, John. Can you imagine that?
Now I want that so much.
No, wait a minute. No, I don't want you to want that.
Yeah.
I don't want you. I want you to keep that in LA.
No.
LeAngelo's going to sign with Boston. That's what I heard. Oh,
man.
Can you imagine? That's the symbol right there. What are fans right. saying? What are fans saying about?
I don't know.
Do you want to ask them about?
My sister's on the Instagram live.
My sister.
Got other people. Talking about us, you know, making fun of us.
I know, I wear nerd shirts. I get it.
All right, I'm going to shut off the Instagram live.
Okay.
I
didn't know they make live Instagram or Instagram live.
All right, that's it.
All right.
That's
and on
it.
That note.
That's it. Okay. I'm out of here.
Okay. Now it's time to wrap up now, obviously. Okay, so there you have it. A Boston Celtics reporter view. Perspective, that is, on the situation between the San Antonio Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, and rumblings that that the Boston Celtics could be in the mix. Now, remember, Boston did reportedly make an attempt last season, about midway through, to just inquire about Kawhi. Obviously, the Spurs
try to steal Kawhi is what they tried to do.
Can you believe this guy? He's openly admitting that Boston's trying to thieve the Spurs.
Of course.
And that's Brad Stevens. That's Pop's boy. I mean, Look at that. I mean, no shame. No shame.
It's my favorite. That's my favorite relationship in the NBA. Brad Stevens and Pop is my favorite. I love watching those two guys talk to each other. It's just, it warms my heart.
Now that this show's gone over an hour, let's go to wrap this up. So we want to hear what you have to say. You heard John over at Locked On Celtics, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Go check his site out at LockedOnCeltics.com. Subscribe to him on iTunes, Stitcher. Pretty much pick a platform and
we're everywhere,
the
baby.
Locked On Podcast Network is going to be there, just as Locked On Spurs is. Go subscribe to his show. You want to say that he's crazy, that he should convince the Celtics to pull the trigger on a Kawhi Leonard deal? Go follow him at
@RedsArmy_John on Twitter, @JKRedsArmy on Instagram.
Where they have Instagram Live. I didn't know that.
Instagram Live. Or or the Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Hey, what's a microphone? Yeah, I know, right? And obviously you can follow me, everything at LockedOnSpurs.com. And, of course, I write for News4SanAntonio.com, Fox29SanAntonio.com. Where everything you need to know about the Spurs is there. And I mean everything. I don't know, you know, how I do it sometimes. But for John Corrales of Locked On Celtics, I am Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs. And he and I, we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.